Good afternoon, 109. 50 years ago today, June 1, 1967. That's right. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They rewrote the rule book of rock. Its first release 50 years ago today. I only know that because Harry Tynewood sent me a story about it. And I do love the Beatles, so thank you for educating me, Harry.
My pleasure. Happy to be here. John Williams has a day off, so Carmen and I are with you till 3 o'clock when Rose steps in. I won't even say it's the best Beatles album, but it is such a significant album, and it was 50 years ago today. You know, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play, so just thought we would revisit it there.
It was in my CD collection back in the day when I was at the University of Iowa, so you can...
Was that like in the makeout section of the... How large was the makeout section
huge,
of your CD
huge section.
Collection?
I did my first ever girlfriend at Iowa. She was big into the... She liked to put on the music before... The action happened. Can I say that right now? I feel like this is high profile time here. I shouldn't be talking about college situations like that.
We had a
Chardet is what was the look there.
Oh,
it was a great one.
Yes.
Goal was always to make it a song too.
My college roommate was the star of the baseball team at Kansas, and he was like 6'4", 195, like all muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas farm boy. And he could hit. And I walked in one time when he and his girlfriend were, you know, discussing things.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Didn't you see the Barry White album outside?" Or, I'm sorry, Teddy Pendergrass. That's what it was. He goes, "Didn't you see the Teddy Pendergrass album?" He goes, "If you ever see a Teddy Pendergrass album out there with nothing in it, that means I'm getting serious in here and do not come in."
Interesting.
So a couple weeks later, I did the same thing with the box of Domino's pizza.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. That was a good pepperoni. Good
yes,
job, Harry.
Was.
Busy show today. We will do our best to fill in for King John. We have the Trump press conference. We're going to take that live right after 2 o'clock on whether or not he is leaving the Paris Accord. Is he going to leave the Paris Accord, Harry? What do you think?
Well, the smart money is coming in now that he's staying.
Smart money on the staying, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's leaving. We'll see. We'll carry the whole thing live, and hopefully you can just imagine the scene right there as you listen to the radio and Trump talking about making major decisions and how everything's going to be great. We will. I like the environment. I think you like the environment, too. I'm pro-environment.
Yeah, I'm not really going to take an anti-environment stand today.
Which is why kind of like this one seems weird to me. Like, aren't we all in agreement that clean water and breathing the air and...
We have the best water.
Right. Don't we want to have the best water? Don't we not want to have all our houses underwater? Wouldn't it be a good idea to perhaps do what we can to avoid that? I would think that'd be a fine decision that all of us could agree upon, myself.
Absolutely.
And there are, by the way, this shouldn't be down partisan lanes here, if you will. Like, I feel like there's a lot of Republicans who are saying stay in, and of course there are some that are not, and I think probably all Democrats are saying stay in. But to me, that's like it shouldn't come down to that at all. It should just be like that's a logical situation. I read where 6 million homes could be
underwater.
Underwater, 6 million. I mean, that's not 5 million. That's not 4 million. That's 6 million. I'm. That's a lot of million, right?
You missed your calling. You should be a college professor.
Right, yeah. Right. We have a situation brewing that's of equal dire. Panic, perhaps. The 0-6 on their road trip, Chicago Cubs. We are under 500. I say we as if I'm on the team. Of course, I want to be on the team. They're back at Wrigley tomorrow with the Cardinals. Dan Plesac, former Cub, your buddy, Harry. Phenomenal work with MLB. He's going to be with us at 1:35.
He's become a megastar since he left Comcast and one of the all-time leaders in appearances. He'll give you the player's perspective, the analyst perspective, and I just find it kind of funny. You know, last year, they started out, you know, like they've never started out ever. You know, you don't win like 25 games in the first month and expect that to happen every year, you know, so that wasn't going to happen this year.
Yeah, but they're still so far away from 25 wins.
They're still the best team in their division. They're going to the playoffs.
Well, okay, we'll get into this further at 1:35, and they may very well be the best team in the division, but the goal is this is not the 1989 sneak into the division Cubs. This is the World Series champion Cubs. We're not talking about winning divisions anymore.
No.
You have to change your mindset.
Yes, and I hate Will Clark, speaking of 1989.
Me too.
But not anywhere near like I hate Steve Garvey, 84. Look, the Cubs are going to be back in the World Series.
Oh, well, that's an aggressive take at this point.
Right, and I'm saying that the way they, you know, it's like, look, from the book, let me get the Bible. From the book of Ditka, take care of your own division, get in the playoffs, win a championship. So you can't win a championship till you get in the playoffs, and they have a great way of getting in the playoffs.
By the way, we do sports on the weekend here. Harry and I host on Saturdays 4 to 7, although I'm going to a wedding this weekend.
You just went to a wedding.
I had two weddings last weekend, and I've got another one this week, and I'll be in Hobart, Indiana on a farm. You're going to be hosting with Kevin Powell. I love KP. KP is ready to roll. He'll do a phenomenal job.
Are you sitting on the bride's side again?
No, I'm a groomer on this one.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a groom on Friday. No, I was all groom. Women don't like me. I get invited by the grooms. Although I did have a very key, I had a key role in setting up good old Jordan Burnfield and his lovely wife, Deanna, who did get married on Saturday. Congrats to former WGN worker Jordan Burnfield for the millionth time.
And are they still married?
They are still married. As far as I know, they're on their honeymoon. Also, I'd like to make mention, those who listen to the show on the weekend, they know that I'm having a significant issue with a bursa sac, which is on my left elbow. But now I've got...
Are we in safe harbor? Can you say that this early in the day?
I don't know. It's a little dangerous. But I've got the kinetic tape on the left elbow, and now I've injured my right forearm / wrist. And I'm like loaded up with kinetic tape all over me today, Harry. I feel like I'm playing hurt. I'm giving you everything I have.
That's all. Well, there's only one way to go, is to play hurt. It looks like you had one bandage, and you took the middle part and put it on one arm and took the outside part and put it on the other arm.
I don't know. I had a professional do this here. I don't know how to do things like this.
Well, this is what happens when you give your all on a tennis court.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Coming on back here, what not to bring to work, because you may lose your job. And a reminder, to kick off the summer by celebrating your love for literature, visit PrintersRowLitFest.org for tickets and more information. Harry Tynowitz, yours truly, Mark Carmen. We're in for King John until 3 on 720 WGN. What do I do when my love is away? There you go, Harry. It's a 2 for Thursday for you, buddy.
Outstanding.
I love the Beatles, too. You're just joining the show. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out 50 years ago today, June 1st, 1967. Myself, I was not born. Elif Jarrus, outstanding producer of The John Williams Show, was not born. Harry Tynowitz was?
Yeah, I think I was a college graduation that day.
Is that true?
No. What do you mean, is that true?
I don't know how.
What are you, an idiot?
I can't do math on the fly like
what
that.
What are you, kidding me?
What would that make you? If you were 22 then, that would make you 72. Okay, fine. You're not that old. My bad. I apologize.
Wow. And you're coming out with that you're not that old.
Well, what are you, 50?
Double nickel.
You're the double nick?
Mm-hmm.
What a great day that was in Madison Square Garden.
Don't
get me sidetracked. I'm sorry. All right. Hey. The phone number here is 312-981-7200. It's WGN Radio. Happy to be with you. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Don't bring your cocaine to work. That is the message.
Now you tell me. Now you tell Elif.
So
this is
a very key lesson that we all need to learn. It comes from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Caught my eye right before the show. I figured we would dive into something incredibly important as we wait for Donald Trump to tell us whether or not he's going to stay in the Paris Accord. Waitress. Dateline Chattanooga.
Hello.
She works at the Waffle House. No, I'm sorry, the Steak and Shake. The Steak and Shake.
Big difference, dude.
Is there?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Don't they do the same thing?
Oh.
You can get a waffle at a Steak and Shake. You can get a steak at a waffle, can't you?
Carm, one is the best, greatest shake you can get at a fast food place.
A little overrated.
And the other is like a state flower in the Southeast.
I love a good Waffle House. Mm-hmm. I get fired up for every Waffle House.
I'm sure you do.
Yep. Good little chocolate chip waffle. Come on, Harry. Steak and Shake, 5118 Hickson Pike. That's the location. So anyway, she brings in a little cocaine, the waitress does, and she is serving an officer of the law. And the bag of cocaine ended up in the officer of the law's water. Bang!
For you youngsters out there.
Officers took the woman into custody and were told that she had another baggie of cocaine in her bra. Due in court on June 15th. officer reviewed surveillance footage of the incident, and owner Matt Richman, way to go, Matt, good job owning a Steak and Shake, says the water was already...
What does that mean? Good job owning it. Are you,
it's
are
a compliment. Serious? That's okay. A legit compliment for Matt Richman. I would love to own a Steak and Shake.
So would I.
We would both be much better shape if we owned a Steak and Shake, great as it is to fill in today.
Yes, but I would be in worse shape because I would eat more shakes.
That's okay.
Drink more shakes.
That's okay. You'd hold yourself together, Harry. I have confidence. But Matt Richman, the owner, said the water was already in front of the deputy when the cocaine accidentally fell out, which brings us to a question. 312-981-7200. What is the worst mistake you have ever done on the job? The biggest mistake you've ever had. We will have an impartial jury of LF Jarris, myself, and Harry to award a Lou Malnati's pizza if you have the ability to come up with something. 312-981-7200. Would you like me to lead off with mine, Harry, or would you like to give yours?
I would, but I just want to dissect this for a second, if we could. So she had two, I believe they call it bindles of cocaine, and one was in her bra. So, like, was the other one also in her bra? Was the other one in her sleeve? I mean, isn't cocaine something you would want to have, like, secured in a pocket? Wouldn't you want to have it, like, put away safe? How could it just fall out? Unless I guess she was on cocaine, then all bets are off.
I swear I read where it was, but I'm scanning the article right now, and I don't see it.
And of all the customers, she's got to have, 100 customers a day. Of all the customers to have it fall out, in their water, it being, a copper.
I don't get the whole keep your cocaine on you while you're working thing. I would think there'd be, like, a special place where that would go deep. Hidden perhaps in your trunk.
Like
I don't know.
At Steak and Shake, they have a little cocaine hut. Employees must store cocaine here.
I don't want to go too far into the where I would put my cocaine, but just for the record, never tried it in my life. That's a true story. Mm-hmm. But if I was carrying cocaine around, I think I'd probably put it in my shoe. I wouldn't have it like on me. That's bizarre.
Right.
I mean, not on me where it could fall out. Shoe, mm-hmm. You're safe.
Yes.
You know?
Well, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done in chat?
Dumbest thing I've ever done, Dateline 1999, Harry. Friday night, DeKalb County, mm-hmm. High school football. My first ever play-by-play game. The DeKalb Barbs playing somebody. Went to the game, called the game. Oh, my God, I'm living my dream. This is awesome. Get in the station vehicle after the game. A station wagon Ford Escort. I'm fired up. I'm driving back to WLBK. I'm putting on the radio. I'm going to play the tunes. I'm looking for Philadelphia Freedom or something. I'm staring right at that radio, and then wham, right into the back of a pickup truck. I totaled the Ford Escort from 1979 that had no value. It was like $2,000 worth of damage. The car was worth a grand. I totaled the station car week one on the job. That was bad. He did not fire me, though. I had already built up a little bit of equity with manager Dave DeVito, who didn't fire me. That's the worst thing I've ever done. That was pretty bad. Total the station car in your dream job, basically, right?
Your first week on the gig.
That was bad.
Not good.
Can you top that one?
Maybe. But we'll go to the phones first.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phones then. Kathy... Welcome to 720 WGN. Give it a go. It's okay, by the way, if you wanted to go by a fake name, but it seems like you're very comfortable in just being Kathy. Go ahead.
Well, when I was very young, I worked in Nashville, and we had a company meeting in Chicago. And after the meeting, they didn't serve alcohol, we were at the gate, and I noticed they were selling Heineken. So I had a couple of beers. Then I wake up, and I was taken off the airplane. Like, they pulled the plane back to the gate.
Whoa.
And I had to get off. Yes, and then when I got back to Nashville, I had to go to like an alcohol class, but that was okay. And they had to tell the general manager, all the bigwigs had to find out about it, but I never lost my job because I had also built up equity in the job.
Kathy, I want you to come clean right now on WGN. You just said two beers. I don't believe you get to the position you described.
No, they had Heineken's. Yeah, no, I don't even know how many beers I had.
Okay.
She remembers the first two.
Yes, there you go. And we were drinking in line. It was the most fun thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Well, it's always fun. So, Kathy, did that prevent, is that the last time you made a mistake with the drinking and the work?
Oh, full disclosure, I can't confirm nor deny that. No.
You sound good today, Kathy. That's all that matters.
Thank Thank you.
All right, hang on one second. We'll see what else your competition's got here. 312-981-7200. I got an accidental email I want to hear about. Barry, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, gang. So me and a sales force of about 10 people, we get sent an email from our boss announcing a new change in sales practice. I was not having any of it, and what I thought was a reply to just the other sales reps, you know, to get together and talk about this. I hit reply all, and I accidentally called my boss a whole word, and I said that I would rather, you know, be out in the North Pole than to deal with this, and he called me into his office, and I was let go in about, 2 minutes.
Well, that would do it there, Barry. Do you have a better job today?
Of course I do. I learned from my mistake, and I definitely got a better job because of it. But it's the old hitting the reply all instead of reply just to the people you want to reply.
Barry,
I've never made that mistake again.
Repeat with me right now, Barry. I didn't want that job. I did it on purpose, and I'm better off today, and I'm happy I sent that email. Go ahead.
I didn't want that job anyway, and I'm glad I did it, and it all worked out for the better.
Dude, that's Homer Simpson-esque. I mean,
good job, Barry.
Don't.
I'm proud of you, Barry. Hang on a second. We're gonna hook you up because you've done something that a lot of us really wanted to do. Not that I would ever want to do that now. I love my jobs.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe you want to tell your boss what you. I don't think most people want to tell their boss what they think of them because they know it could end like it ended for Barry.
Well. I mean, listen, I'm sure if Barry could go back in time, he would do it in a different way. But sometimes you got to get out and come hell or high water. And Barry, I think Barry subconsciously said there was something going on there. He made the move. He knew that he wouldn't do it. He wasn't going to walk in there. But he did that, and it all worked out. All right, we got to get to news. Steve Bertrand coming right up with that. After 1:30, Dan Plesac of your MLB Network, former Chicago Cub. What's wrong with the Cubs? Will they be okay? Are we going to be back in the World
They're
Series?
They're fine, yes.
All right, we'll find out what Plesac thinks. 720 WGN. They're singing, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Never say die. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs they still won the World Series. You can't take it away. Go Cubs, go. 0-6 road trip, though, was not part of the plan. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Dan Plesac pitched for your great Chicago Cubs. He told us last year the Cubs were going to win the World Series. He was right. He's a genius. He worked for the MLB Network. We love him. You love him. He joins us now on 720 WGN. Dan, I have a lineup and I have ideas. I want to know if you think it's time for just a little tweaking on the north side, or if it was you, would you just, in your Joe Madden, do you just proceed as normal right now? Because I think I would proceed as not as normal.
Interesting question, Mark. I look at the team right now, 2 games under .500, a little disturbing road trip right to L.A. You can see the Dodgers, pretty good team. Padres, who didn't see that coming. Oof. Go on a trip. Who in the world thought that the 2017 Cubs would go 0-6? On a road trip, but it is what it is. When I take a look at this, I like the move getting Schwarber out of the leadoff spot. I look at this team up and down. I'm like, okay, what's the matter? I don't think there's one thing, Mark. I think there's several, but several that could be all fixed within the roster. Listen, it's easy to say, okay, we need something else. Kyle Schwarber is hitting .165. Addison Russell is hitting .213. Anthony Rizzo hitting .227, okay? Ben Zobrist, .247. Chris Bryant, really the only everyday regular. You know, you say, okay, .278, average a little low. You know, the RBIs, 23, 11 home runs, okay. I guess you could give a pass to and say, okay. But they got to pick it up. They have to pick this up, because if they don't, they're fortunate of this. The division is bad. The Brewers are going to fall out of that tree anytime soon, okay? They've been a really good story. I don't think the Cardinals are very good. I think the Pirates are a team that's reeling, and the Reds are a total rebuild. They've got a division right now that is so winnable, and I think what they're going to do, they've frustrated you up to this point. Listen, 52 games in, right? We're a little past the third of the way mark of the season, right?
Yeah.
They're going to win the division.
They are.
Going to be pretty. Yeah, they're going to win the division. They are. Once they get to the lead, they're going to win this division, and I think they're going to win it by 4 or 5 games, because I think to win this thing, it's going to take like 87 or 88 wins. Forget about 100-plus wins. It's not happening in 2017, but they're going to win the division. They're going to win it.
Danny, always a pleasure to visit with you, to chat.
Thanks, Harry.
Oh, man, this is great. Seventh all-time.
It's like the good old days, isn't it?
It is like the good old days, except I'll remember where I was when I wake up in the morning.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's even better.
It sure it is. I agree. Danny, you know, the people that are panicking, I mean, they're comparing the Cubs' start to last year when they were unbelievable, and you can't hold them to what they did last year. They just set the bar too high. But there's so many positives on this team. You've got a national perspective. I'm crazy for them. But what is in the pantheon of catchers? Where do you rank a Wilson Contreras?
I like him. I think he's gotten better. And I know a lot of people have said they miss Dave. They don't miss. I mean, they might miss David Ross. I get it. I mean, he got a lot of hoop and holler for a backup catcher, okay? John Lester's a good pitcher. John Lester doesn't need anybody to hold his hands to be a good pitcher. If John Lester had any run support right now, he'd have 7 or 8 wins. So don't kid yourself. I mean, do they miss David Ross? Yeah, I guess they do. But if you're going to worry about having a backup catcher, that's the problem with the team. I don't buy it, okay? The bottom line is this Kyle Schwarber thing can't continue to be 165. Addison Russell can't continue to hit 216. And Anthony Rizzo can't continue to hit 227. I don't care any way you dice it and slice it. If those four guys don't get better, they're not going to get much better. But listen, the pitching staff, John Lester's throwing the ball. Okay, Arrieta's been a little up and down. John Lackey is what he is. He's a solid guy. And Kyle Hendricks has been a little up, a little bit of down. The five spot's been – if I said this, and a lot of people laughed at me when the season started, Harry, but I really thought they missed Jason Hamill, and they're going to miss him. Why? I know he wasn't on the postseason roster, Harry. I get it. But Jason Hamill was really good from April till about the first week of August, right?
I completely agree.
He was really, really good. And the fifth spot in the rotation has been a huge black hole so far. They've tried a couple of different solutions. They haven't found it yet. I think they will. Right. I'm a little concerned about the bullpen, not Wade Davis, getting the ball to Wade Davis. It's a good team. We were discussing this today. I'm on the 6-7 MLB tonight, and the Cubs was a big topic. Do you go out? I don't think you go out and make these wholesale changes, because the guys that you want to get better, you'd have to believe that they are. Schwarber's better than this. Addison Russell's better than this. Anthony Rizzo's better than this. Ben Zobrist is better than this. So you'd have to think it's a 52-game funk that sooner or later they're going to wake up from this fog. That's the way I see it. And if they don't, then they may not. They win 84, 85 games. They're still going to be in it the last month of September. With that said, if the postseason started, I don't think there's a team in baseball right now that wants to draw the Cubs in the playoffs, okay? So they just got to get there. They're going to get there.
The great Dan Plesac joining us. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you should do that, at Plesac19, the lefty out of the pen talking with us right now. Danny, okay, you just said Kyle Schwarber about five times. If it's me and I'm running the club, I am sending Kyle Schwarber to AAA Iowa right now and letting him get his footing. He hit a home run against the Padres the other day. He gets into the dugout, and he's acting like the weight of the world just came off his shoulders. I mean, for whatever reason, he's just not feeling like himself. I don't know if it's the knee. I don't know if they're pitching him differently. There's a lot going on here. I'd let him get hot at Iowa and then bring him back up.
Listen, the Cardinals sent Randall Grichuk down, right? A lot of people thought he was going to be their best offensive player when the season started. There may be something to that. I look at it this, and it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard to do, Mark, because I fell for it too, all right? This guy basically missed all of 2016, went to extended spring, Arizona Fall League, and if it weren't for Kyle Schwarber, they weren't winning the World Series. He gave them a shot of life when they desperately needed it. Now, it was short-lived. It was 7 games. It was the World Series. I get it. It hasn't transpired this year. 165, it is what it is. And I think more alarming than the 165, 176 at-bats, he struck out 60 times.
Yep.
A third of the at-bats. I get it. Hey, we're in this era now. You know, it's, hey, the three true outcomes. Walk, home run, and a strikeout. I get it, right? But, man, talk about taking it to an extreme. You can't have a lineup filled with guys. I mean, that's a lot of strikeouts.
Yep.
Addison Russell struck out 39 times, right?
Way too many.
Wilson Contreras, 42 times. Chris Bryant, 46. Those are rally killers, man. I will never buy into this total thing of sabermetrics and an outs and an out. You show me a team with four or five guys that strike out a lot, I'll show you a team that can't get hot and stay hot, because you can't strike out that much, and they've got to put an end to that somehow, some way.
38 times for Javi. I mean, what you just laid out there, though, Dan, is that there may not be that good. I mean, I at least.
Well, and it could be. Maybe this could be what? The year. Like, okay, the hangover, right? That is it going to last? I don't know. I know this. I wouldn't want to play this team. And I don't think between you and Harry and I, if we sat here right now in the next 20 games, the Chicago Cubs win 15-5, you, me, or Harry would not be surprised. Neither would anybody that follows baseball. We're kind of waiting for them to, like, get slapped in the face and wake up. Maybe the Padres woke them up, because that's pretty embarrassing, because that's a bad team. Okay, you can sugarcoat it any way you want it. That's a Triple-A team that just swept the Cubs.
No doubt.
Yep, and call me old-fashioned, but I hate it when the Cubs go to San Diego and lose three straight games. I hate it.
I know. You're going back, Leon Durham. Don't even go there, Harry.
I won't.
Don't go there.
The great Danny Plesac, who toiled for many clubs, seventh all-time in appearances for a pitcher. He's visiting with us. Now you can watch him on MLB Network. It seems like every night. He's 6-7 tonight. So, Dan, when you have a kid like Ian Happ come up, and there's already so many guys that are fighting for playing time, you know, I think the best thing about the Cubs is every guy comes to the park thinking, hey, I could get in the game today. Joe Maddon plays everybody everywhere. So, I mean, how do you work in a kid that comes up and just keeps getting on base?
Not anymore. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, he's kind of in a little funk, too. He's hitting .214.
Right.
I mean, first few games, you're like, whoa, where did you get this guy from, right? Like, you know, Harry, I'm a firm believer in this. There are a couple of guys. To me, the heartbeat of that team is Anthony Rizzo. He's not the best player. Chris Bryant is their best player. But they have to get more. And I mean, they have to get more out of two guys. Kyle Schwarber cannot continue to hit .165, and Addison Russell cannot continue to hit .216. If those guys continue that, then the Cubs are in for a long summer. So, I don't think that's the case. I think both will get better.
Yeah, and Addison Russell's a big RBI guy. So to follow up on my Ian Happ thought, I would play Albert Almora Jr. every day in center field.
I love
the way this kid goes right. And gets the ball. Whatever he does with the bat, I'm going to get offense from other guys. So, and Almora every day is going to get on base more than if he's playing once in a while. What do you think about putting Almora out there all the time?
I agree with you. You know, I don't get a chance to watch the Cubs every game, so I really haven't followed daily because I've got.
You made that choice.
I know. I know I did. You boy, talk about rubbing it in. Anyway. now you threw my old train of thought. No.
Money matters, by the way, in life, and so does exposure. Continue on, Dan Plesac. You made the right move.
I know that I did. And, Harry, I just re-upped a new 5-year deal, too, with MLB.
Oh, damn.
You heard it here first.
Damn. Danny Plesac, 5 years, $100 million.
Oh, no. Oh, that... Yeah.
Underpaid.
Wishful thinking. What we were talking about, Almora Jr., I think put him in center field. I do. This is a better team than they played through 52 games. I get it. You have to believe in that. And hopefully, you know, every team occasionally hits one of those. Hey, listen, the Cubs had some peaks and valleys last year going into July and August too, right? They kind of let everybody back in and then they pulled away again. They're a good team. They're not playing like a good team. They have the best talent. They have the best pitching staff in that division. They're going to win the division. It might not be pretty, but they're going to win the division.
All right, Danny, if you ever agree to be Mr. Met again, I want you to promise me you'll keep your arms down the whole game.
Oh, how about that, huh? Oh, man, that was like the old Jack McDowell. What did they call him, the Yankee Flipper, when he flipped him off when he walked off the field that day? The Yankee Flipper, Black Jack McDowell?
I think it's a nice move in the world. But listen, man, you taunt the mascot. The mascot might just give you the old one-finger salute
exactly.
back.
Right? What do you like to see the Philly fanatic just going, flip somebody off one day, national TV, right?
I mean, that to me signifies a little bit of progress in the world.
Amen.
Give and receive. Dan Plesak, you're the best. We appreciate you jumping on, and we'll watch you tonight on MLB. Thanks, man.
You got it. Okay, take care, Harry.
Thanks, Dan. Mark. Terrific.
You got it.
Dan Plesak, the best, with us here on 720 WGN. Cubs panic. Anybody feeling it? 312-981-7200. A little bit of a follow-up coming right back here on that Mr. Met with the one-finger salute and perhaps how that might be a good thing. I'm going to make that argument. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Thanks to Dan Plesak for joining us. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. We are in for King John Williams today. John will be back tomorrow. Is that right, Alf? He will not be back tomorrow.
Monday.
Who gets to fill in tomorrow? What about a repeat Carmen Harry? What's going on around here?
They're thinking of that.
Bertrand, are you having fun up there? Are we ruining the station? What do you think?
I'm enjoying it.
Okay, a little 50-minute in review here. We're going to hear from the president after 2 o'clock, huh, Steve?
If all goes according to plan, in fact, it's being reported now pretty widely that the White House has sent a talking points memo to Republicans in Congress explaining why he is withdrawing. So he is going to pull the country out of the Paris Accord.
Now, why would he do that? That's so irritating.
I think he'll say that it will preserve jobs in the country. The
old jobs are more important than the environment, even though perhaps you create new jobs to make the environment better for all of us, more jobs, better environment, win-win, the old win-win, both
Steve,
and.
You know, I wonder if we went to Trump Tower, if he even has like a separate bag for recycling bottles.
Right. How are we going to work if we're dead?
That's a good point, Elephant. Back in the day, I don't know if you remember, Harry, but like in the 1920s, they had these like horse and buggies and wagons that, you rode around on. And then what happened was they learned how to make the car. And so we stopped making the horse and buggy and we made the car. Now, you know, people that perhaps are in the coal industry, they could be in the make good clean energy industry. Not to get too technical with you here. Couldn't we just transition the jobs and it would be so logical and intelligent? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't see this as a win for him.
I'm just thinking of people that have continued to work after they died, to answer Elif's question. Harry Carey has been the Budweiser spokesman since he passed. I mean, well, how long ago did Harry die? Like 15 years?
That's a good, right? good time.
Every year, Michael Jackson is like top money earner for recording industry. Prince, I know, was one of the biggest money earners.
Right. If I passed away tomorrow, I'm sure my podcast On the Mark, which you can listen to on iTunes, would just continue to go like gangbusters.
I would hope you wouldn't pass away.
Could be
away.
The biggest day.
Right? Don't you think, Steve?
Usually that's how it works.
I mean, my interview with Daryl Strawberry and Andy Roddick, people would be just listening to that just to hear my voice for days on end and years, perhaps.
Wistfully.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? All right. Well, so we'll hear from the president coming up after 2 o'clock. You mentioned Mr. Met.
Yes, he flipped a fan off yesterday.
Yeah, so he was walking down a tunnel, and they were yelling at him, and he turned around, and he gave the old middle finger salute.
Mm-hmm.
I personally kind of, mascots are people, too. And if you yell at a mascot and you're some drunk guy, I know we've got cameras and technology and Mr. Met can easily be identified. But I don't have a huge problem with Mr. Met giving the old salute.
So technically, he's not a person. Mr. Met, okay, I'm aware, like, I don't think Mr. Met lives in a Met house somewhere. I'm aware there's a guy that comes to work and portrays him. But when you're in the mascot suit,
yeah,
you're not a person. You're a mascot.
Okay, well, mascots have feelings, don't they?
I don't think a mascot is ever in the right to flip a guy off.
Hold on. When I say to the mascot, when I walk up to Southpaw or Clark the Cub or Benny the Bull or
Ribby and Rhubarb.
Right. And I say high five and the mascot gives me a high five, didn't the mascot hear me and respond to me?
Yes.
So what's wrong? Why can't? So if you tell.
I don't think it's a mascot's play. I think flipping off is like something that evil people do. And a mascot represents. Tommy Hawk, represents everything good about coming to the Hawks game.
Yeah. Well, okay. Listen. At the end of the day, it's not ideal mascot behavior. However, mascots do have feelings.
It's funny when the chicken lifts his leg.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny, but it's not like in response to a fan. And even though there was, let's say that fan had it coming, there's going to be a five-year-old kid there that sees Mr. Met flipping the guy off.
Well, he was like deep in the tunnel, though.
Look, but social media.
Yeah,
okay?
I know.
Now the world. People in Malaysia today are talking about Mr. Met.
Well, what type of sick person trolls the Mr. Met and then has the camera rolling just in case Mr. Met comes back at you with something and then throws it on the internet? Couldn't you just keep that to yourself? You got to tell the world that Mr. Met gave you the one-finger salute. You know, what kind of world are we living in here? You know,
I would say that was a Yankees fan.
It might have been. It very might
have. I can only imagine what Mrs. Met is going through right now.
Mrs. Met's probably feeling it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, real quick, welcome to 720 WGN. Not talking about Mr. Met, but horse and buggies. That's what we do here. Go ahead, Mike.
Horse and buggy, yeah, you brought it up. 1920, and we went to the car.
Yeah.
But can't we learn anything from the Amish these days? Or,
that's
still riding around a horse and buggy, don't they, Tom?
We should go back to the horse and buggy, Mike. It's probably be good for the environment,
I
actually.
So. You know, control emissions and
right.
The Trump story. Yeah. You know, the Trump story, get on that buggy wagon.
Yeah, no,
No.
Excellent point, Mike. Excellent point. Thank you for checking in.
I had a friend that used to do a hayride every year around Christmas time. That was fun. Get on, you know, a bunch of single young people, like, you know, 20s.
I haven't done a hayride. I'm going to a wedding at a barn. Does that remotely qualify?
You're close. You're near hay.
Right, right. Back in the... I had a...
You ever go to the Barn of Barrington? That's like a fancy restaurant.
No, never did that. One of my buddies got married on a farm in North Carolina. I was with my ex-girlfriend who fed the goats. That happened. Does that count?
I'm trying so hard to keep up with you two up here.
I mean, it can go any which way. She also would... we would be driving down the street and on Michigan Avenue, and she would see the horse and buggy, and she would start crying. And I'd say, why are you crying? That horse does it. She would just be crying for the horse because the horse doesn't want to be doing that. I'm like, well, you know, the horse has got to go to work too. And the horse is making a living. Right. And you know, maybe the horse wants to be out there. You don't really know what the horse is thinking.
Do you guys remember when they busted a lady of the evening around Water Tower Place who was working out of a horse and carriage?
No.
The driver was her pimp. And she was taking care of business inside the carriage.
The driver of the horse and buggy, too?
The driver was the boss.
The driver was the boss.
And he would make sure that, like, they were, you know, unbeknownst to all, and her clients would get in the carriage with her, and she would take care of...
Was this in the news, or did you find
out? No, it was in the news.
Okay.
I am a horse whisperer, but no, that's not how I found out.
Okay, I thought that perhaps, you know... You were going to come clean on something, Harry.
No. And the best horse is a horse that wins.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
To wrap it up here, I would make the point about the horse, you know, was working. And she would scream, the horse doesn't want to do that. And I actually agreed with her. Like, do you think that horse wants to walk you around downtown? Wouldn't it rather be on a farm chilling out? That's not what the horse is meant to do.
Could be worse. I mean, the horse could have it a lot worse.
Could always be worse.
Those horses get taken care of. Those horses are bathed, fed, loved.
Great. They get to take a shower.
Horse could be doing a sports show.
It's true.
That's not nice, I don't think. All right, Steve's news coming right up. Let's get to that on time, and so we can get to perhaps Donald Trump on time, who's going to tell us about the Paris Accord. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Hi, Kerry Wood here. Reminding you, all spring and summer long, the world champion Chicago Cubs conversation is right here.
Yes, Chicago,
720 WGN at WGNradio.com.
There you go, Kerry Wood. All right, Steve's news coming up in a second here. We're going to have the Trump announcement, the withdrawal from the climate deal. That is coming up after 2 o'clock. We're not going to be able to take your calls right now, but I am curious about reaction at 312-981-7200. That is the text line, 312-981-7200. I'd particularly like to hear from Trump supporters about how they feel about pulling out of the Paris Accord and whether or not you're on board. Because it seems split, even with people that voted for Donald and believe in what he's trying to do. I'd like to hear it. Yes.
This president cannot go more than a few days without doing something.
He's in something.
That just gets, you know, at least half the country shaking their heads going, why?
Okay, Elif, I see you. It's like Elif Saturday nights right here on 720 WGN. You feel this,
what?
Harry?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, this is bumping. I feel like this came from the annals of Elif's life. Breaking news, at Rocket Burger Bar, now following me on Twitter, you can too, at the Carm. Welcome aboard, at Rocket Burger Bar. I judge people by how many Twitter followers they have. I don't have enough.
At the Carm.
At the Carm, thank you very much. I am our Carm, your Harry Tynowitz. We're sitting in for King John, who is off today. We are waiting on President Donald Trump, who is going to tell us why he is pulling out of the Paris Accord, coming up here in a matter of moments, supposed to speak right around now. This was an international agreement, Harry. It was reached in 2015. The goal was to reduce carbon emissions, which, of course, have causing slowly rising global temperatures. The deal, as you may know, requires countries to set their own targets. Your own target, right? So you could do whatever you wanted to as far as reducing emissions by 2020. The Obama administration committed the U.S. to reducing carbon emissions by 26 to 28% by 2025. We're actually well ahead of schedule.
This was a big Obama thing.
Right.
Obama really pushed for this and said it was great for the country that we were a part of this, and America's, you know, the major player, as it should be.
Have you ever been to China?
I have not been to China.
So I was fortunate enough to go to China for the Laureus Sports Awards about 2 years ago now, I think.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was sent over by goodoldfansided.com, got to go over there, and outside of China being really different than the United States of America and having some culture shock, being over there and realizing, oh my God, not only are you not speaking English, you're not speaking anything close to English. And I...
That surprised you?
Yeah, I'm apparently just a little slow to how the world works. The air quality in China, in certain parts, were absolutely, positively horrendous. Like, way worse than California on a bad smog day. You're basically feel like you're almost choking down the air. And China's been is very involved in the Paris Accord, and they know they have to be because they've allowed their country to get to such an abominable level that people have literally have trouble breathing. And I don't know why we'd want to go that far.
Like every country in the world is in. Syria's not, Nicaragua's not. But Trump wants, you know, his presidency is about jobs, and this creates jobs, and this is a big Steve Bannon thing. So you know, that's one of his big guys, his advisor that he usually always listens to. And I would think that when America steps out, as it appears they're going to, that there'll be many people happy to slide over and, you know, be the key player.
312-981-7200, waiting for the president if you want to jump in. Text line, Carm, you are idiotic. The Paris Accords are job killers. You trust government to keep environmental standards. I really don't trust that right now particularly, but okay. I still want receipts for the $787 million billion, the bailout and all that type of stuff. Rule of wealth, people first, then things, then money. Money is never first. And then he writes, how's the elbow? I love that text just because of the how's the elbow in there. So, okay. The Paris Accord job killers. See, I think that making the world a more environmental friendly place could create tons of jobs. And if you look at the amount of jobs that are actually going on as far as coal is concerned, it's been going down and down and down. There's 55,000 jobs right now. Back in 1925, there were 800,000. 1980, there were 250,000. Now there's 55,000. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious which way this is going. You're not going to like revive coal. You got to put the people that are in coal into other energy jobs and allow them to advance in life that way if they want to do that. I think that makes sense, Harry.
Yeah. Well, this is all, you know, I mean, Trump is a very reactionary president, obviously, and this is going to be something that he can say, look at what I did. You know, I heard you, and I'm saving jobs, and they're saying it could save, like, you know, By 2040, 6.5 million jobs.
Okay. It could save.
Yeah.
By getting out of it.
By getting out of the pact.
Well, okay. I mean, maybe that's true. I find it hard to believe. I also, you know, you see things about what's going to happen to the global sea level and...
Right.
I mean, mildest projection scenarios, global sea levels will rise by 1 foot by the end of the century. Worst case scenario, global sea levels rise by 8.2 feet, six million homes. I would like to err on the side of caution there and find creative ways to keep people employed. That's just me.
Isn't this another opportunity for Trump to be anti-Obama? He is so obsessed with reminding people that he beat Hillary in the election. He is so obsessed with reminding people that there were more people at his inauguration than there were. And he's obsessed with proving himself better than Obama. And this was something that Obama championed, that he really believed in. And so Trump is going, in my opinion, he's going out of his way to like be, you know, the opposite, the antithesis of what Barack Obama was.
And that's interesting as far as, like, is this a political decision? Everything is political decisions, or is this something that he truly believes in? That's a very blurry line for me.
I think everything he does is political. And, I think he should have more advisors, and he's already running campaign, you know, commercials for 2020.
Let's take a quick time out here, and if the president steps up to the microphone, we'll break in during the break here and bring it to you. And, of course, we'll bring it right after we get back either way. Some call it fake news. The old global warming, it's fake news. Others just absolutely annihilating Donald Trump on the text line. We got both sides here. Anything with Obama's name on it, he wants to get rid of from the 708. Global warming, don't sweat it, fearmongers. Fake news from the 312.
Hasn't global warming been proven as real?
I mean, if you listen to scientists who, you know, are doing their job.
I don't see how you can call it fake at this point.
Well, again, if the people in the world that actually are scientists and that's what they do for a living are saying it, I would think that you would tend to, you know, I look at a scientist and I think, you're smarter than me. I'm going to trust you. I hated science and was lucky to get a C.
Oh, I hated science as well.
What was your best subject, Harry?
My best subject was microwave oven.
It's a good subject, good subject.
History. History was always my best subject.
All right. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. We're in for John Williams, who is off today. We're waiting on Donald Trump, who's going to speak at the White House on pulling out of the Paris Accord. Matt wants to talk about Donald. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead there, Matt. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Thank you, folks. And I didn't realize you guys could work on the weekdays, so I'm happy I get you twice this week.
Oh, go on.
Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome. All right, I'm going to be quite blunt, but I am going to watch my language because this is radio.
Thank you.
Donald Trump is pulling out of the accord for one reason, and only one reason. He's an idiot. And he's an idiot because he absolutely refuses to have anything to do with saving this planet.
Matt, let me just hold on one second. Because, like, I get the whole Donald Trump is an idiot, but he somehow, some way, got himself all the way to the president of the United States. So he's got something cooking up there.
But that was like I think he did that because, like, you know, everything in you know, all the worlds were aligned, all the planets and stars were aligned, and Americans wanted a change, and he happened to be preaching change. I think now that we've seen his first 105 days, whatever, that we, you know, I'm kind of with you, Matt.
I'm not with you, but you get my point too, right, Matt?
No, I understand, and I think that. There are so many things I could say about this election that happened, but I'm not going to because that's not what we're talking about. Donald Trump refuses to allow anything of substance that he did not create. And unfortunately, yes, this may create 6 million jobs in the future, but guess what? If we're not around to have those 6 million jobs, then we've got a bigger problem.
That would be an issue.
Yes. So... And please understand, I'm trying to be very careful with what I say so I don't get the red button dump. But there's something inherently wrong with this man's mind And he doesn't look at the bigger picture. He looks at the smaller picture, and he refuses to look at the bigger picture because if we're not here, we can't use those jobs. Anyway, I'm going to stop before I actually start
You did well, Matt. You did well. Thank you for checking in.
Matt, we appreciate you sharing your opinion. Thank you. Keep listening.
Yes, and your opinion is shared by many, and many others completely disagree that this is, hey, we're going to get more jobs. Donald is great. We're going to – the country is headed in the right direction. There are plenty of people that have that opinion. So, well, I listen – I don't. I try my best, Harry. If I may, I like to. I personally like to vote on the issues, things that matter to me. What do you believe in? And this one, as far as the environment's concerned, I don't get how there can be so much division on it. Don't you want to? And I get that there's different ways to go about things, and maybe this is too much protection and not enough protection and all that type of stuff. But for me, it's just real basic. Like, I would err on the side of caution on the things like drinking water. Like, that's to me, you know, I wouldn't want the situation that you had in Flint, Michigan, where, you know, this is awful. You can't, you do what you can to prevent that at all costs, and then you figure out the rest later. Like, that's number one.
There are people, I read a very well thought out story that believes Trump might be experiencing some early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. And they, you know, it's... They use as an example his response to the last few press conferences he's been in, the exchanges he's had with reporters, where he seems to lose his train of thought. And, you know, it just seems like this is not a guy that spent his career in politics and hasn't invested a ton of time in decision-making, which seems to come, like, off the cuff for Trump.
Right, figuring it out, how he goes and flying by the seat of his pants. I think that's pretty clear. And a lot of people were hoping that, okay, maybe he was going to change his mind, which, in this, as far as the Paris Accord is concerned, we're still waiting on hearing from the president. I'd like to put it out there like this. For those of you who do care about the environment, I think that's, I'm going to say, 95% of us, what, Steve Bertrand, do you have anything?
I just wanted you to hear the smooth jazz in the background. We're waiting here. Some of the president's top staff members have now taken their seats in the Rose Garden, so there probably will be just a few more minutes.
Has Sean Spicer been forced to lie for Trump yet?
Harry?
Yes.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Steve, do you care about the environment?
I do care about the environment. Yes, I do.
What's one thing that you yourself, Steve Bertrand, could do better to help the environment?
I could recycle smarter, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, rinsing things out and being more aggressive on your recycling rather than just throwing them out?
You know what I could do better than that is
I
like to go grocery shopping, and I'm not good at bringing reusable bags.
There you go. I have that one, too. I have that one, too. Harry, you got anything where you could be better? Let's forget about what's going on here for just a second. Let's bring it back to us. It back to you. What could you do better? 312-981-7200. I'll start a movement right now.
When I have a friend that always taught his kids a song when they were brushing their teeth about we never let the water run. So when I shave, I used to always like the hottest water possible. So now I just stop and start. So it's not a big thing. We've been recycling for a long time. But when I shave, I will turn the water off, except for the brief second or two that I need to.
To rinse and then to. I like that move by you. I like that one. What about when on a brushing the teeth? Like, a lot of times you brush the teeth, right? And you let the water just run. Don't really need it running while you're in the brush mode.
Right. And I've got to get better at that. If I could do it for shaving, I should be able to do it for brushing my teeth. It seems like the brush gets the water much more than the blade.
Right, and listen, I enjoy the sound of a flowing water, but that's something that I could perhaps give up, right? I live close enough to...
You could have one of those sound machines, and you could hear water.
You're
right.
You
don't actually need to have the water making the water sound.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Of course, noise pollution now.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm down with some noise pollution. 312-981-7200, the phone number. What could you do better? I agree with Steve Bertrand. I personally, Bertrand, I'm with you. I don't bring, every time I go to the grocery store right now, how many bags do you need? Three. It's another, what is that, 7 cents a bag? I'm at a 21 cent. If I go to the grocery store three times a week, that's 63 cents.
You're not doing it for the money, Carm. You're doing it for the world.
You're exactly right.
You're doing it for me, my friend. You're doing it for Harry.
I am. I would be. I'm doing it for Reggie and Lucy. Steve, what's your kids' names?
Emma and Noah.
I'm doing it for Emma and Noah.
And Emma's about to graduate, I believe.
In December.
Congratulations,
go,
Steve.
Emma.
Thank you.
What should we do here? I guess we're probably not going to get to this after till after 2:30 here.
So Steve, am I correct? There's like other countries are like just drooling to get in the command position that America is when Trump pulls out of this thing.
Well,
right?
I don't know about that, there certainly will be a. Harry, I don't know if it's as much of a power vacuum if we weren't leading as much as others anyway. I mean, I think, I go to Europe quite a bit, and it's just amazing the different sort of the way they live. It's just a wholly different experience that they've embraced all of this more so than we have. I think you said, is it Libya and Nicaragua? Are the other two countries?
Syria and Nicaragua.
Yeah, it's the United States, Syria, and Nicaragua. There's a three lot. Let's get Ray in here real quick. I'm hearing that Ray is a great call. Ray, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great, Ray.
Somebody earlier made a comment that it's a jobs killer, but it's not. For every tax credit you give and every dollar you give for fossil fuel as compared to clean energy, you have the same return on job growth. So it's a fallacy to say it's a job killer. It's just we're creating different jobs. That's all.
I mean, we've been in this since it was signed in 2015, brought into law 2016. We're in 2017. Unemployment's at historic lows, right? We haven't seen jobs getting killed right now.
No. I mean, I think people are just stuck in a certain way, in a certain, the past, that certain jobs look a certain way. And maybe, if you live in rural areas or something, you live by coal areas, maybe that's just what you're used to. You're seeing those jobs.
There's other jobs to be had. But
yep.
this report does say that if he doesn't pull out of the pact, 6.5 million jobs will be lost, in the next 23 years.
In certain industries that are dying anyway.
Right.
Those jobs are going to be made in other areas.
Exactly. We have to move forward. You cannot stay in the same place forever. Hey, Ray, great call, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
I mean, come on. Jobs evolve over time. We're not doing this. The jobs are different than they were in the 1920s and the 1950s and the 1980s.
10, 15 years ago.
Right. I mean, come on.
When I met Bill Leff, he was working at a Blockbuster.
Right. And when I was one of the great vendors of all time after I was a bagger at Sunset Foods.
Are you saying there's going to be a point when we don't need vendors at a game?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
Come on.
You know that's happening, right? They're selling beers via machines now in some parts. They're moving toward that.
Don't kid around with that, Bertrand.
No, they are, but you still need people to bring them out to you. I mean, they don't come out like by droid.
No, you go up to a vending machine. They've got vending machines.
Oh, you're talking about... I thought you were just talking about like you could order it.
No.
Yeah, but there's a certain touch that the vendors of the world bring to you when they walk by you at
damn right.
and hand you a nice beverage.
And tip them heavily.
For $10.50.
Do you know that...
Good Lord.
Some 7-Elevens have mashed potato vending machines?
That can't be true.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good mashed potato? Is that a real mashed potato?
Trump wants to pull out of that?
Once again, trying to keep up.
We got to the mashed potato at 7-Eleven out of nowhere.
This is Steve Bertrand in the WGN Radio Newsroom. President Trump has indeed come out to the Rose Garden. He is starting remarks today about a terror attack, a shooting that came at a resort in Manila. The president next to speak to the climate agreement. Let's go live to the White House.
Throughout the world with terror. Our thoughts and our prayers are with all of those affected. Before we discuss the Paris Accord, I'd like to begin with an update on our tremendous, absolutely tremendous economic progress since Election Day on November 8th. The economy is starting to come back, and very, very rapidly. We've added $3.3 trillion in stock market value to our economy and more than 1 million private sector jobs. I've just returned from a trip overseas where we concluded nearly $350 billion of military and economic development for the United States, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs. It was a very, very successful trip, believe me. Thank you. Thank you. In my meetings at the G7, we have taken historic steps to demand fair and reciprocal trade that gives Americans a level playing field against other nations. We're also working very hard for peace in the Middle East, and perhaps even peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Our attacks on terrorism are greatly stepped up, and you see that. You see it all over. From the previous administration, including getting many other countries to make major contributions to the fight against terror. Big, big contributions are being made by countries that weren't doing so much in the form of contribution. One by one, we are keeping the promises I made to American people during my campaign for president, whether it's cutting job-killing regulations, appointing and confirming a tremendous Supreme Court justice, putting in place tough new ethics rules, achieving a record reduction in illegal immigration on our southern border, or bringing jobs, plants, and factories back into the United States at numbers which no one until this point thought even possible. And believe me, we've just begun. The fruits of our labor will be seen very shortly, even more so. On these issues and so many more, we're following through on our commitments, and I don't want anything to get in our way. I am fighting every day for the great people of this country. Therefore, in order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord Thank you. Thank you. But begin negotiations to re-enter either the Paris Accord or in really entirely new transaction on terms that are fair to the United States, its businesses, its workers, its people, its taxpayers. So we're getting out, but we will start to negotiate, and we will see if we can make a deal that's fair. And if we can, that's great. And if we can't, that's fine. As president, I can put no other consideration before the well-being of American citizens. The Paris Climate Accord is simply the latest example of Washington entering into an agreement that disadvantages the United States to the exclusive benefit of other countries, leaving American workers, who I love, and taxpayers to absorb the cost in terms of lost jobs, lower wages, shuttered factories, and vastly diminished economic production. Thus, as of today, the United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord and the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country. This includes ending the implementation of the nationally determined contribution and, very importantly, the Green Climate Fund, which is costing the United States a vast fortune. Compliance with the terms of the Paris Accord and the onerous energy restrictions that is placed on the United States could cost America as much as 2.7 million lost jobs by 2025, According to the National Economic Research Associates, this includes 440,000 fewer manufacturing jobs, not what we need. Believe me, this is not what we need, including automobile jobs and the further decimation of vital American industries on which countless communities rely. They rely for so much, and we would be giving them so little. According to the same study, by 2040, compliance with the commitments put into place by the previous administration would cut production for the following sectors. Paper, down 12%. Cement, down 23%. Iron and steel, down 38%. Coal, and I happen to love the coal miners, down 86%. Natural gas, down 31%. The cost to the economy at this time would be close to $3 trillion in lost GDP and 6.5 million industrial jobs, while households would have $7,000 less income, and in many cases, much worse than that. Not only does this deal subject our citizens to harsh economic restrictions, it fails to live up to our environmental ideals. As someone who cares deeply about the environment, which I do, I cannot in good conscience support a deal that punishes the United States, which is what it does. The world's leader in environmental protection, while imposing no meaningful obligations on the world's leading polluters. For example, under the agreement, China will be able to increase these emissions by a staggering number of years, 13. They can do whatever they want for 13 years, not us. India makes its participation contingent on receiving billions and billions and billions of dollars in foreign aid from developed countries. There are many other examples, but the bottom line is that the Paris Accord is very unfair at the highest level to the United States. Further, while the current agreement effectively blocks the development of clean coal in America, which it does, and the mines are starting to open up. We're having a big opening in 2 weeks. Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, so many places. A big opening of a brand new mine, it's unheard of. For many, many years, that hasn't happened. They asked me if I'd go. I'm going to try. China will be allowed to build hundreds of additional coal plants. So we can't build the plants, but they can, according to this agreement. India will be allowed to double its coal production by 2020. Think of it. India can double their coal production. We're supposed to get rid of ours. Even Europe is allowed to continue construction of coal plants. In short, the agreement doesn't eliminate coal jobs. It just transfers those jobs out of America and the United States and ships them to foreign countries. This agreement is less about the climate and more about other countries gaining a financial advantage over the United States. The rest of the world applauded when we signed the Paris Agreement. They went wild. They were so happy. For the simple reason that it put our country, the United States of America, which we all love, at a very, very big economic disadvantage. A cynic would say the obvious reason for economic competitors and their wish to see us remain in the agreement is so that we continue to suffer this self-inflicted major economic wound. We would find it very hard to compete with other countries from other parts of the world. We have among the most abundant energy reserves on the planet, sufficient to lift millions of America's poorest workers out of poverty. Yet under this agreement, we are effectively putting these reserves under lock and key, taking away the great wealth of our nation. It's great wealth. It's phenomenal wealth. Not so long ago, we had no idea we had such wealth. And leaving millions and millions of families trapped in poverty and joblessness. The agreement is a massive redistribution of United States wealth to other countries. At 1% growth, renewable sources of energy can meet some of our domestic demand. But at 3 or 4% growth, which I expect, we need all forms of available American energy, or our country will be at grave risk of brownouts and blackouts. Our businesses will come to a halt in many cases, and the American family will suffer the consequences in the form of lost jobs and a very diminished quality of life. Even if the Paris Agreement were implemented in full, with total compliance from all nations, it is estimated it would only produce a 0.2 degree, think of that, this much Celsius reduction in global temperature by the year 2100. Tiny, tiny amount. In fact, 14 days of carbon emissions from China alone would wipe out the gains from America, and this is an incredible statistic, would totally wipe out the gains from America's expected reductions in the year 2030, after we have had to spend billions and billions of dollars, lost jobs, closed factories, and suffered much higher energy costs for our businesses and for our homes. As the Wall Street Journal wrote this morning, the reality is that withdrawing is in America's economic interest and won't matter much to the climate. The United States under the Trump administration will continue to be the cleanest and most environmentally friendly country on earth. We'll be the cleanest. We're going to have the cleanest air. We're going to have the cleanest water. We will be environmentally friendly, but we're not going to put our businesses out of work. And we're not going to lose our jobs. We're going to grow. We're going to grow rapidly. And I think you just read, it just came out minutes ago, the small business report. Small businesses, as of just now, are booming, hiring people, one of the best reports they've seen in many years. I'm willing to immediately work with Democratic leaders to either negotiate our way back into Paris under the terms that are fair to the United States and its workers, or to negotiate a new deal that protects our country and its taxpayers. So if the obstructionists want to get together with me, let's make them non-obstructionists. We will all sit down and we will get back into the deal and we'll make it good and we won't be closing up our factories and we won't be losing our jobs, and we'll sit down with the Democrats and all of the people that represent either the Paris Accord or something that we can do that's much better than the Paris Accord. And I think the people of our country will be thrilled. And I think then the people of the world will be thrilled. But until we do that, we're out of the agreement. I will work to ensure that America remains the world's leader on environmental issues, but under a framework that is fair and where the burdens and responsibilities are equally shared among the many nations all around the world. No responsible leader can put the workers and the people of their country at this debilitating and tremendous disadvantage. The fact that the Paris deal hamstrings the United States while empowering some of the world's top polluting countries should dispel any doubt as to the real reason why foreign lobbyists wish to keep our magnificent country tied up and bound down by this agreement. It's to give their country an economic edge over the United States. That's not going to happen while I'm president. I'm sorry. My job as president is to do everything within my power to give America a level playing field and to create the economic, regulatory, and tax structures that make America the most prosperous and productive country on earth, and with the highest standard of living and the highest standard of environmental protection. Our tax bill is moving along in Congress, and I believe it's doing very well. I think a lot of people will be very pleasantly surprised. The Republicans are working very, very hard. We'd love to have support from the Democrats, but we may have to go it alone, but it's going very well. The Paris Agreement handicaps the United States economy in order to win praise from the very foreign capitals and global activists that have long sought to gain wealth at our country's expense. They don't put America first. I do, and I always will. The same nations asking us to stay in the agreement are the countries that have collectively cost America trillions of dollars through tough trade practices and, in many cases, lax contributions to our critical military alliance. You see what's happening. It's pretty obvious to those that want to keep an open mind. At what point does America get demeaned? At what point do they start laughing at us as a country? We want fair treatment for its citizens, and we want fair treatment for our taxpayers. We don't want other leaders and other countries laughing at us anymore, and they won't be. They won't be. I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris. I promised I would exit or renegotiate any deal which fails to serve America's interests. Many trade deals will soon be under renegotiation. Very rarely do we have a deal that works for this country, but they'll soon be under renegotiation. The process has begun from day one, but now we're down to business. Beyond the severe energy restrictions inflicted by the Paris Accord, it includes yet another scheme to redistribute wealth out of the United States through the so-called Green Climate Fund, nice name, which calls for developed countries to send $100 billion to developing countries, all on top of America's existing and massive foreign aid payments. So we're going to be paying billions and billions and billions of dollars. And we're already way ahead of anybody else. Many of the other countries haven't spent anything. And many of them will never pay one dime. The Green Fund would likely obligate the United States to commit potentially tens of billions of dollars, of which the United States has already handed over $1 billion. Nobody else is even close. Most of them haven't even paid anything, including funds raided out of America's budget for the war against terrorism. That's where they came. Believe me, they didn't come from me. They came just before I came into office. Not good. And not good the way they took the money. In 2015, the United Nations, departing top climate officials, reportedly described the $100 billion per year as peanuts and stated that the $100 billion is the tail that wags the dog. In 2015, the Green Climate Fund's executive director reportedly stated that estimated funding needed would increase to $450 billion per year after 2020, and nobody even knows where the money is going to. Nobody's been able to say, where is it going to? Of course, the world's top polluters have no affirmative obligations under the Green Fund, which we terminate. America is $20 trillion in debt. Cash-strapped cities cannot hire enough police officers or fix vital infrastructure. Millions of our citizens are out of work, and yet, under the Paris Accord, billions of dollars that ought to be invested right here in America will be sent to the very countries that have taken our factories and our jobs away from us. So think of that. There are serious legal and constitutional issues as well. Foreign leaders in Europe, Asia, and across the world should not have more to say with respect to the U.S. economy than our own citizens and their elected representatives. Thus, our withdrawal from the agreement represents a reassertion of America's sovereignty. Our Constitution is unique among all nations of the world, and it is my highest obligation and greatest honor to protect it, and I will. Staying in the agreement could also pose serious obstacles for the United States as we begin the process of unlocking the restrictions on America's abundant energy reserves, which we have started very strongly. It would once have been unthinkable that an international agreement could prevent the United States from conducting its own domestic economic affairs. But this is the new reality we face if we do not leave the agreement or if we do not negotiate a far better deal.
That's President Trump live in the Rose Garden of the White House today talking about his decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. He says that the deal is less about climate and more about other countries getting an economic advantage over the U.S. He said at one time world leaders were laughing at the United States. He also said that the U.S. will have the cleanest and most environmentally friendly country on Earth. So lots more to come. We were standing by hoping that perhaps the president would take some questions. If he does start to take questions, it does not look likely given the people in the crowd. But if he does take questions, we will return to the president and the Rose Garden. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz.
Thank you, Steve. We do have reports that there are a bunch of trees that have been dented with people driving into them. We cannot confirm that right now at this moment. Rokan is coming up in a matter of moments here. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.